As believers, we have great resources at our disposal through prayer. Pastor Ray Bentley says they often go unused.
I am convinced when we finally get to heaven and realize the access we had and the power that we missed for our lack of prayer, for our prayerlessness, we're going to say, what was I thinking? Spinning so much on my own energy, my own strength, and in my own power, wasting so much time.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. When a friend calls, we answer. Well, today, Pastor Ray points out that we have an open hotline to God Himself through prayer, but we frequently put God on hold unless crisis hits. Let's see what we can do to reconnect with the God who calls our name. Here's Pastor Ray now to begin.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. Paul gives three simple exhortations. Number one, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 17. Then verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Many, many times I am asked, Pastor Ray, what is God's will for my life? Here you have it, very simply. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Now here's what I'd like to do to define what exactly did Paul mean when he said we are to rejoice always. I would like to go, and I have in your notes here, three scriptures. And I want us to look at them and to read them, and here's the reason why. They help to define what Paul meant. Because here's what I have found. The best commentary on the Bible is what? The Bible. That's why you read it and you compare scripture with scripture. You don't take something isolated or out of context or alone. You put all the scriptures together, and then you're able to form an opinion or an understanding. So here's something that Paul the Apostle himself wrote to another church called Philippi. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 is in your notes. Let's read it out loud. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now he gives a little definition. And this one is a little bit easier to swallow. Rejoice in the Lord. When you think about Jesus, immediately you ought to be able to rejoice in Him. Now, my circumstances may be lousy. My condition, whether physically or financially or emotionally, could be discouraging, depressing in a lot of different ways. But when I think about Jesus, I can rejoice. And the reason I can rejoice is because He loves me. There is every reason to rejoice in the Lord. Therefore, it is possible, because now that we've asked Jesus into our hearts and lives, and He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There's another scripture that says, even if we are unfaithful, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. In other words, He comes inside of you, and you and I will have our failings and shortcomings and falling down, and we will be unfaithful even at times. But God remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself, who is in you. And if you have genuinely then been born again, you can always rejoice in the Lord. When Paul wrote this, rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice, he wrote that letter from prison. When he went to Philippi, if you remember, he had preached and there was opposition and he ended up being thrown in prison and beaten and then thrown in prison. So here in the midst of this prison, here's all these bad guys, and there is the Apostle Paul, and there is Silas. And in the midst of that, it says at midnight, these two guys, after, you know, dealing with their wounds and everything else from their beatings, began to rejoice in the Lord, began to sing to the Lord, and began to shout at midnight, rejoicing in the Lord. I don't think they were rejoicing or happy about their physical pain or their circumstances, but what they did is, as they rejoiced in the Lord Jesus and his love for them, what they experienced inside was this heavenly presence of the Lord that was more powerful than even their tangible experiences on the physical outside. And they overflowed to singing and to worshiping and to praising. And God in heaven responded, we read in the book of Acts, by shaking the earth. And he shook it with a great earthquake. And it was apparently a violent earthquake because it shook all the prison gates open, as well as the shackles that were on their wrists for all the prisoners. Immediately, the jailer, Roman guy, he knows what's up. He is, according to Roman law, personally responsible for every prisoner. They escape, he's a dead man. So the guy grabs a sword, he's ready, he's just, I can only imagine. He's like, you've got to be kidding me. He's got a sword ready to do himself in. Paul calls out from the darkness. And he says, oh jailer, do yourself no harm. We have not gone anywhere. We are still here. The jailer, shocked to hear that, is invited by these two prisoners down into the pit, which he now comes, takes Paul and Silas, and brings them out, takes them to his home, where his wife and he ministered to their wounds as Paul and Silas shared with him Jesus. And that man, the jailer, and his wife accepted the Lord, and that was the beginning of the Philippian church. Paul learns something that he now is wanting to pass on to us. Yes, you don't rejoice when you get cancer. You don't rejoice in sickness or illness or bad circumstances. But in the midst of those, you can rejoice in the Lord. Pray continuously. Now, again, what that does not mean. What that does not mean is you have to be praying in your mind forever without there ever being a break. I mean, if you literally tried to follow that, you'd be walking around, not able to have a conversation with anybody, or going about a normal daily routine, mumbling to yourself all the time. It'd be weird. And so I got a little deeper into, the Greek as it's describing it, and what it literally is saying is, pray recurring over and over again. In other words, it's more like a sequence of continual praying, or every event praying that comes up. So it's kind of like when you wake up in the morning, begin the day with prayer. As you go through the day, as events come, you pray about everything. A decision comes. What should I do? Should I do this or should I do that? Lord, and you pray about it. An opportunity comes, rather than just saying, oh, okay, and following, as they say, the tyranny of the urgent, you pray about it and say, Lord, it's an opportunity, but an opportunity is not an obligation. Do you want me to do this? Yes? No. Two ways diverge. Should I go this way, Lord, or should I go that way? Open doors. And everything in your life, it becomes a way of life that your best friend is your Heavenly Father, and you just talk to him about everything. Believe me, he loves talking to you. But here's what's amazing to me, is that you and I have an open invitation to the most powerful one in the entire universe. We have the invitation to go talk to God Almighty. He's only the creator of the universe. And he says, you can talk to me anytime, day or night, the most powerful one of all. And not only you can talk to me anytime, come on in. Stay as long as you want. There's no, 3 minutes, I'm done. You know, I've got to move on. You can talk to me as long as you want. And in fact, I love you so much, I want you to stay as long as you possibly can. Tell me everything, son. I want you to tell me your plans. I want you to tell me your worries. Tell me your dreams. Tell me your anxieties. Cast all your burdens on me, for I care for you. I have plans for you. I have a purpose for you. I'll take care of you. I'll look after you. And when you get that kind of lavish love from a relationship, you want to take advantage of it. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us to do. Take advantage, enter boldly into the throne room of grace. I am convinced when we finally get to heaven and realize the access we had and the power that we missed for our lack of prayer, for our prayerlessness, we're going to hit our heads and say, what was I thinking? Spinning so much on my own energy, my own ingenuity, and my own strength and in my own power, wasting so much time. And look how the Father loves me. Pray continuously. Thirdly, Paul says that we ought to, in everything, give thanks. One of the signs of a Spirit-filled follower of Jesus is that they are very thankful. They are appreciative. And they are intentional about saying thank you to God, thank you to Jesus, thank you to the Holy Spirit, thank you to my church, thank you to my brothers and sisters. Thank you, God. They have this, they realize rather than the idea of being owed, they realize I owe a debt that I cannot pay. And it has been graciously paid. I can never repay it. And I am lavish with so much love and goodness and grace and mercy that I could spend the rest of eternity saying thank you and never come to the end of it. Do you remember when Jesus had healed 10 lepers? Leprosy was you get leprosy, you're going to die. That's it. So Jesus heals 10 lepers. How many came back and said thank you? Do you remember? Does anyone remember? One. Uno. What happened to the other nine? I mean, it healed of leprosy. I remember thinking, well, how dare they? But then if you think about the reality, you know, who knows, maybe some teenage kid and he had leprosy. This Jesus prophet comes along, he gets touched and healed. Woo, I'm healed. And he feels so alive, he just runs off. And it wasn't that he wanted to do anything bad to Jesus. It's just that he was so happy to be alive and have a second lease on life, he forgot. And I think that's human nature to a certain degree. But what is interesting to me about the story as it's told in the gospel is that the one who came back and what Jesus said to him. Jesus noticed that somebody appreciated and was thankful for what he had done. And it touched Jesus. He said, didn't I heal 10 men of leprosy? Of a death sentence, and only one came to say thank you. Bless you, son of Abraham. He blessed him. And you wonder sometimes, is it possible for you, you know, 6 billion people on the planet, does God even really see me? Does he have time to even follow my life or notice me or pay any attention? I'm not that significant or powerful or important. I'll tell you what. You just say thank you. You be giving of thanks, you'll have the attention of the Savior of your soul. You'll have the attention of Almighty God. Hey, look, she said thank you. She noticed my goodness, my grace, my blessings. And it blesses the heart of God. And I'm sure you appreciate it. You know, the things that you do in your life or your career, your business or whatever, does it not touch you when somebody comes up to you and says, you know, I just wanted to stop and take a moment and say thank you for being who you are and what you do and the way that you do it. You, your talent, your gift is so appreciated. And not only the gift you have, but the way that you minister in that gift. I deeply appreciate it. When somebody says thank you to you, it warms and touches and blesses your heart. What a great way to live. Where we're all loving one another and thankful to one another for the variety of gifts. And you don't, all of a sudden, jealousy gets melted away. Why should I be jealous? They're appreciative of my gifts, and I'm appreciative of their gifts. I compliment them, and they compliment me. And it's this giant appreciation love fest within the body of Christ. So, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now look at verse 19. He says, do not quench the Spirit. The word quench comes from the word fire. It means don't put out the fire. What fire? The Holy Spirit. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, guess what has come inside? Yes, the Holy Spirit, but what is the Holy Spirit? He is like fire. He is more lasting than fire, more real in essence than fire. Fire is a great metaphor, image, picture of the real fire of God. What does fire do? Number one, it brings light, and two, it brings warmth. One of the signs that the Holy Spirit has come into a human being's life is that they have illumination in their minds. They see things that other people don't see. They get things other people don't get. And it takes time. It's not like, you know, it comes immediately. It happens a little bit at a time. The first illumination that is divinely, it's like God-given, is when you look at Jesus and the first time you realize, it's like an illumination, a revelation, oh my, he is God. Jesus is God. When you have that, that's an illumination. It's a divine revelation. It's like light goes on and you see him for who he really is. That he is who he claimed to be, that he has the power that he claimed to have. And that's the first illumination, but it's only the beginning of multitudes more. The Holy Spirit brings light. And may I add, the more you subject yourself or submit yourself or put yourself, as it were, at the feet of the Word of God, this is like shining greater light and illumination that is material for the Holy Spirit to bring greater illumination to your mind. I recently saw a man that was in the business world, and all of a sudden he said, you know, yeah, I go to church and I learn all the truth and I believe all of that. I believe the gospel. He goes, but now I'm having like visions or illumination about my business. That if I actually take what is Christian and serve people and do a good job, and not only do a good job, but provide for them a benefit through my company, and I do it in a godly way and do it to bless them and not to take advantage or to rip them off. He said, I am finding that as I serve their needs, God rewards and blesses me. In other words, it's practical. It's not just spiritual like Sunday school stuff. This works in the real world. And all of a sudden, the customer whom you are serving comes back and says, wow, you're different than all the other companies. I feel like that I am a human being. You treated me with respect. I feel like an individual. You listened to me. You gave me what I asked. You were on time. You worked hard. You delivered something that is valuable to me. Thank you. Not only that, but it was a pleasure doing business with you. And not only that, I'm going to tell all my friends about you. All of a sudden, this guy in the real world is having something added, as it were, to the bottom line, and all he is doing is following the lighted path that God gave to him. There's also a warmth that comes with the Holy Spirit that is fire. It melts your heart. You just get softer and softer. The longer you walk with God, there's nothing better than an older saint that has walked with God for decades. I love older people who know Jesus for a long time because their hearts are so soft and they're so tender and it's almost like they're already entering heaven here on earth. I love to be with them. I love to be around them. On the other hand, I'll tell you what's hard to be around is people who quench the Spirit of God and their hearts get harder. And the Bible says they get a stony heart, a rocky heart. You know what it's like to deal with a human being who's got a hard heart? They don't look at you when you talk to them. They don't really listen to you. They don't care really about you. There's nothing said that seems to penetrate. They're impervious. They're so wrapped up just in themselves. And they're generally kind of negative and not even fun to be around. Well, welcome to a stony heart. God forbid, and that's why God in his love and graciousness sometimes allows such people with hard hearts to go through such terribly broken times to break up that heart so that it might melt under the fire of the Spirit and become a heart of flesh once again. Well, in closing, Paul says in verse 20, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. Basically, test the Word of God and make sure that what God is saying, he is saying to you and confirming it by his Spirit. Don't take any man's word for it, not even mine. Paul said the Bereans tested the things that Paul said. Imagine, the Apostle Paul comes and he shares. The guy's been to heaven. He's had angels talk to him. Jesus, he's seen the glorified, resurrected Jesus. So Paul comes to address them. They sit there and they go, not bad, but I'm going to go home and see if what he said is actually in the Bible. They checked him out. I want to joyfully, gladly tell you, don't take my word for anything. I mean, I'm glad that you love me and hopefully respect me as a pastor, that God has called to be your pastor with a gift of teaching. But you don't live off me or what I even share on a Sunday morning. You go to the Word yourself. You have a Bible. You check it out. You see if it's so. And have your own individual relationship with the Lord. Verse 23, he says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." In other words, make you holy. That is your eternal destination, by the way, is to be holy like Jesus. "And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." He's promised to make you holy. He will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, that deserves a little bit of interpretation. Because I know that some of the young single guys were wondering, "Pastor Ray, when are we going to enact that, you know, and wanting to meet the girls and all?" But let me just say, this is from Paul's culture in the Middle East. And if you want to follow that culture, okay, guys, you can, but in Paul's culture, men kiss the men and the women kiss the women. Personally, I would just want to shake your guys' hands, okay? I'm totally cool with that. Now, in other cultures, they don't even touch. They just bow. In other cultures, they rub noses. The point is, Paul is adding to, other than just saying, "Oh, you're my brother in Christ, okay, whatever." He's saying, actually love each other. Show in some way, whatever is culturally appropriate, affection, that you are precious to me. I love you. I'm glad you're my brother or you're my sister. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. And the holy brethren includes the holy sistren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Paul began 1 Thessalonians with grace. He ends the letter with grace. And literally, this is my goal every week as I love you and pray for you and teach you, that we would drown in a good way in the grace of God.
Pastor Ray Bentley, wrapping up our studies of 1 Thessalonians here on Maranatha Radio. And you can hear today's message again on CD. It's a study called Worshiping His Presence. And we can send it your way for just $7. Contact us and mention that title, Worshiping His Presence. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 1 Thessalonians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, your book, The Holy Land Key, is not only based on your years of biblical study, but it's based on some unique relationships you've enjoyed with people in the Middle East.
You know, that's very true. I had no idea, Dave, but the Lord kind of spoke to me, and he just said, "Hey, you know, you tell the story, you teach the story of prophecy. Son, I got some surprises for you. You're going to be stepping into the story." And when I took that adventure with the Lord, I found myself literally in the office of the current prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and sharing the things of the Lord with him. And it was a powerful, incredible opportunity and experience. And that's part of what I get to share the story about in the book, The Holy Land Key.
He's a thoughtful man that really is trying to do his best to lead that nation.
You know, he is. The whole world being focused on Israel, and right now focused on the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. We're living at one of the most exciting hours in human history, and we get to share and tell some of those stories in the book, The Holy Land Key.
All right. Well, why not get a copy for yourself? It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 1-800-921-2727 or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, Pastor Ray moves ahead one book to 2 Thessalonians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.